In the name of Jesus. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord. For in him are grace and peace, the peace of God which passes all understanding, the tender grace of our Heavenly Father who sent his Son to bear our sins away on the cross. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh, and he is the one that the written Word of God, the proclaimed Word of God, the sung hymn of God, the liturgical Word of God always points to. Doesn't point to you or to me. It doesn't point us to our wonderful building here, this building that has the whole structure that's, we're coming on 50 years, isn't it? Yeah. These things that God has given are places where we, the redeemed people of God, can gather to hear the word about Jesus, the word who became man for you, who became a human for you, who out of love and mercy and grace went to the cross to die for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, in dying for the forgiveness of the world's sins. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is drawing near to the city for that final Passover of his earthly life. He's standing on the brink of the city, and when he sees it, Luke writes, he wept over it. Now, weeping is not just shedding a little tear. Weeping is something that involves the whole being. And the actual word here for weeping is wailing. Wailing, crying out in lamentation. It's the same thing that Jeremiah said he did when he wrote the book of Lamentations. Jesus is so heartbroken when he sees the city. Why is that? Well, it's not because Jerusalem was a city in which he was appointed to die. Rather, it is because Jerusalem was the city where God had established his presence in the temple. Jerusalem was the city that was the centerpiece of Palestinian Judaism of the day. Jerusalem was the city of peace, for the salam, the shalom, is the Hebrew word for peace. And yet Jesus tells us in today's gospel that the things that make for peace are hidden from the eyes of many in Jerusalem. And the days will come when Jerusalem will no longer be a city of peace, but it will be a city where thousands upon thousands of people will die, where the Romans will invade, breaking the walls down, slaughtering the people, a city of great distress, a city in which not one stone will be left upon another, because many in Jerusalem, particularly among the chief priests and the scribes and the leaders of the people, did not know the time in which the gracious God, our Lord Jesus Christ, God became man, visited the people. When God visits people scripturally, he can do so in two ways. He can visit his people to bring them comfort and peace. After Jesus raised the widow of Nain's son, as he was being taken outside of the town to be buried, after Jesus raised him up, the people praised God. They thanked God. They sang alleluias, if you will, to God, saying, God has visited his people. God is among us. God gave life to this widow's dead son. And what a marvelous thing it is. God can also visit his people in wrath, in displeasure, in judgment, when they reject him, when they reject his word. God has given us a wonderful gospel, good news of our salvation. God has poured out upon us in word and sacrament all the blessings of this gospel. And yet, do we gladly hear it and learn it? If we do, it's entirely by the grace of God that sharpens our ears and tunes them in to hear God's word, as the Holy Spirit works through that word to direct us to Jesus, our Savior. And if we don't gladly hear and learn God's word, it's because the devil snatches that word away from us, and our sinful nature despises that word and does not want to hear it. So, every Sunday, every time we gather, it's going to be one or the other. Think of it this way. I am capable of despising God's word. I, as a member of the kingdom of God, I, as a fallen human being, I, as a pastor, am capable of that if I let my sinful nature have its way. And so it is with you. If you let your sinful nature have its way, it will turn you away from the word of God so that you no longer gladly hear it and receive it. But thanks be to God, you are baptized into Christ. God has placed his Spirit upon you, who gathered you to the triune God, who has enlightened you in baptism and continues to enlighten you as the word is preached and proclaimed, who gathers you, his people, around the sacrament of the altar, where Christ himself feeds you from this altar, where he feeds you the fruit of the cross, his body and his blood. Look at the compassion of Jesus in today's gospel. He knew the city would be destroyed, and so it was in about 40 years. And yet he wept over the city, saying, "Oh, that you would have, even you, had known on this day, I, the Lamb of God, who will offer myself in sacrifice for sins in just a few days, if you had known on this day the things that make for peace." Christ himself is our peace, Scripture says. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word peace is heard throughout our liturgy. Until you hear that final benediction, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. That final pronouncement at the Lord's Supper, as you leave the altar and return to your daily lives. Jesus has compassion toward you. Never doubt that. Never doubt that he looks upon you with love and mercy. He calls you to himself. He calls me to himself regularly, daily. As we read the word, as we hear the word, as we come to the church's liturgy, is Jesus calling us, gathering us, saving us, blessing us? And so we, the redeemed people of God, sing our praises to him. The temple of God was destroyed with Jerusalem, as our Lord prophesied, in 70 AD. But there is a new temple, a new temple. It is the temple which is made up of God's redeemed people in Christ. You individually, you together, are part of this temple of God where Christ, the final sacrifice, makes himself present to pour out his mercies upon you. You are the temple of God because Christ is in your midst, bestowing upon you forgiveness, life, and salvation. So, dear friends, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself when you come in, that you would set earthly things aside and listen to the Word of God gladly, for it is His Word of peace to you. Pray for this congregation as you gather for worship, that we would put earthly things aside and by God's grace be enabled to direct our attention to Christ Jesus. That's a part you can do. That's what we do in the liturgy in part. And you know what? God hears the prayers of His people. God hears your prayers because He wants nothing more for you, nothing better for you than to delight in His Son in whom He has given the free, bounteous gifts of salvation. And when we trust in Christ, that makes God happy. The triune God bubble over with joy because God's Word does not return to Him void, but accomplishes the purposes for which He sends it, your salvation and mine, in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus your Lord.